back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I have three friends and colleagues in the studio tonight, Angelica Wallace-Whitfield, John Cox, and Natasha Vasquez. All are artists, so Angelica's been on the show a few times as an artist, talking about her experience getting her BFA or in the UK, in Kent. Yes. And John Cox, many know, as being one of our leading contemporary artists, a former professor at my former colleague at the National Art Gallery.
It all just means is I'm old.
Honey, look at my
just say that.
We're both the other day I was writing my bio and I was like, after 25 years, and I was like, wow, it's been actually 35 years in the art industry. I'm like, I can't say 25 years anymore. Oh my Lord. And Natasha Vasquez, who's also a practicing artist, who came up to Volta last year and sold out her booth and all work at Bahamar, where they are operating The Current, which is the gallery and studio space. And if you haven't been, I don't want to drive over the bridge either. I don't really want to go on campuses like that either. It's kind of this instinctive thing that I don't want to do as a Bahamian. But I have to say that, you know, sometimes you make that effort and you go and you find something that truly is of value. And I think we have a tendency to kind of poo-poo things or be too quick to just reject them. So I think The Current at Bahamar is one of those things, and the team working there are really doing extraordinary work. So I would really encourage anyone to go and step in. It's this very vibrant, it's artistic space. It's very different from the NAGB, where we're, you know, a museum and we're creating an archive and we're sort of trying to educate. And The Current is more really of like a fun space where you can, first of all, buy work, which you cannot do at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas because we are not a gallery in that sense. And you meet this really, again, inspiring group of young people. There's artist studios, so people are actually there making work. And they're doing all of these events, which, like we talked about, the critique, the open, you know, to help the local community, the small works show, which is opening next Friday. So John is the creative arts director for the whole campus, which is a much kind of bigger job than just The Current. But speak specifically to The Current. Like, what is your vision for that, and what made you want to take on that challenge? Because I remember when you were working with me and you were thinking about it, and I was like, listen, by all means go do it, but here are my cautions of what, you know, how it,
sure.
how it could be read, what could go wrong, the negative aspects. What really made you take that leap?
I mean, I think it was I think it's just, you know, I try to be an optimistic person, as my colleagues might look at me and go, what? Really? No, I mean, like, deeply, I think I am. And I feel like we have opportunities, right? And, you know, so for you know, full disclosure, you know, we've been, The Current has existed philosophically for like 5 years now, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We are part of the 1.0, and then the development stopped and it restarted. And I think part of it was very reassuring to me the second time it came back on stream, that what we had put down on paper and what we had kind of were able to achieve in the, I guess, 2.5 years the first time was of value to the second developer, almost like verbatim, like, oh wow, yeah, we really, really like this and we really would like to see you develop this further. So I think what kind of motivates me is, I think it's the lineage of my own practice as somebody who I think quickly realized in my early 20s that it was as important for me to make my own work as it was for me to make platforms for other artists to,
which is actually exactly what Brent Malone did,
right? So you need to, there's no point in me teaching people at COB and saying, oh, you need to push your work, you need to challenge yourself, you need to do whatever,
if there's nowhere to show
and then there's
it.
Nowhere yeah. to go. It's yeah. like saying, yeah. oh, just get on this flight and we're going to take off, but there's no airport to land. but it's gonna be a great flight, but you know, but you're not going anywhere. And so I just kind of took the opportunity. I said, well, good, bad, or indifferent, this hospitality thing really informs the way people, how the Bahamas is defined. And I thought, okay, well, maybe there's a way for me to take the history of what everyone else has done before me in the country, also be inspired by the other interesting things that I think are going on kind of globally based on my own experience, and see if we can kind of develop a framework that maybe isn't even recognizable that it's working, or the elements of it aren't really mature enough to tell 2, 3, 4 years in, that can grow into something that really is like industry forming helps affect a paradigm shift of how the world sees and experiences what the Bahamas is. And that's the goal. I mean, it sounds lofty, but that's ultimately what it is. I mean, and the way the challenge for my job is that I kind of liken it to like taking an exam, right? So it's like somebody giving you an exam, but you're also able to create the exam, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like my job is to create a very rigorous and dynamic and appropriately challenging scenario or test for then myself and the team to take that test and to pass it, right? So if I say that this is what I would like to see happen and it needs to be meaningful if we actually achieve it, the impact on that is great. Right. So and then it means something for more people. There's more opportunities. There's more connectivity. There's more partnership. There's more strength. There's more visibility. And that's really what kind of drives the current for me. I mean, we have all these different things we need to think about. I mean, my team, we're always talking about we have P&L reviews every month. We have to think about money and are we hitting the budget and are we doing this and are we doing the next thing? And that's a great sort of source of anxiety. But really, the truth of it is, I think our
awesome training.
Our goal is to try and achieve this much bigger thing. And I think if that thing is achieved, the P&L will become the easiest thing in the world because the impact of the perception and the perspective that from within and from without that we can garner will make it so. Revenues are being made by people. We're pumping money into the art industry locally. We're buying work and giving other people opportunities and hosting, creating platforms for things that are international.
It goes
beyond and beyond and beyond. But if we just kind of like chase our tail and think about how many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches can we sell in a month to make this immediate kind of like mini test within the big test satisfy, we're going to lose it. So it is a challenge because you have to think, geez, I don't want them to think that I'm not being responsible by not paying attention to the financial measure. But there's a cultural artistic measure I think that we're only just starting to realize. And I can't do it without, I hate to even say I, it cannot be achieved without the team, Angelica, Natasha, all the other folks who are on the team and people who will come and go throughout, you know, who come and go, who need to gain experiences and are going to move on to the next thing. But I kind of see the team as going beyond that. I see the team as Amanda Colson and NAGB and the public at large and the guests who are coming, because if we're not receiving the support and satisfying that clientele or that audience, we're not able to do it. If it's just this narrow-based thing that, oh, yeah, John Cox at the end of the day, oh, he's a creative art director, what does that even mean? It doesn't have any impact or relevance culturally at all unless we can do something. And we see glimmers of it. You see people coming in and saying, you know, being very kind of positive about it. There was one little story I want to share. It was very touching. It was last week we were talking about that. There's an area at Bahamar called PAD, which is the Public Areas Department, which is essentially just means the people who do, I guess, housekeeping around the property. And I was walking actually with your curator, from last week. No.
Diana
Nawi.
Oh, Diana.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I was giving her a tour of the property, and
she loved, by the way.
This associate was on the floor, and she just saw us walking by, and we stopped and looked at one of the paintings. And the associate didn't know who I was, and she just, I guess, assumed that we were guests.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to us and gave the most kind of like glowing review of the current. And you have to go down and you have to see all of this stuff and they have all this work. And it was just this like lady who I don't know, she doesn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of came up and was like, oh, did you know they have all this artwork? Do you know they do this? And you know this is such an amazing thing. And I was like, oh, okay, so maybe what we're doing is working, maybe just a little bit, because that was probably one of the most I guess rewarding things of the last 5 years. It was like all of a sudden this like random litmus test came out and said, whoa, did you know this? And it was like it all of a sudden she expressed to me this value, like, do you realize we have all this Bahamian art on the property and this is a great thing? So it's really operating at that level, you know, because we could get stuck in the business side of it or whatever, which is super important because I don't think that we're really paying attention to that enough as creatives in the country. But my goal is to empower these people who are on the show with me, plus the rest of the team, plus as many of the community that want to be there. And, you know, my thing is we need to be doing more stuff with NAGB. It's 2020 yeah. coming up. We need to have more robust programming yeah. going on, you know?
Thank you. But saying also, I mean, speaking to, again, the vision is really inspirational. And I think people do forget that, too. They love to say, like, oh, you're Baltimore. That the amount of Bahamians that are being touched by that art, I didn't share that with you, but I went to see the new Fairpoint 2.0 recently with my husband, and there were some guys actually painting the corridor, like, and they covered up all the... And they were taking time to go look at the work, like, you know, and then we came in and they didn't want us to go by. And I was like, oh, but we want to get to the other side to see more art. And they were like, oh, well, in that case, you know, and they were, again, like these were just random guys like yeah. painting. And I could see that they actually were really careful with the works, that they wanted to go and experience the works. And so like every single Bahamian who works in yeah. the space is coming into contact.
Yeah. It was, yeah. During their lunch hours, they'll come yep. to the space and I'll say, oh, welcome. And then I'll realize they have a Bahamar name tag on. And especially when we work the late shift, like the 10 p.m. shift, the lady from PAD that John just described, she's in there 5 days a week because yeah, she yeah. loves it, you yeah, know? Yeah. Like, I look forward to seeing her at 8 p.m. because I know she's coming.
And the
you
security
know, like,
guards, they're always yeah. coming in. Yeah, like, yeah. And something else that it seems to be having an effect on the art community as well, the artists in particular, this is a very small example, but something as simple as including the commission price into your artist price, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so when we discuss how to price your work, a lot of artists have a lot of questions about that. And they seem to be now more automatically being like, I'm incorporating that price yeah. into my price,
this is
not
what it's
to cost, inflate
and this
it.
Is what
and
I want to get from it.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it seems to be that we're like kind of festering a more like professional approach yep. to yep. creating art yep. as opposed to just, yep. oh, I'm going to make this in yep. in and my studio and
again, and at the end of the day, it is a business. So I think when you speak yeah. right. to like, again, I'm sure all the P&Ls are very stressful, but at the end of the day, like even the institution, we have that. And I think that's something that, you know, maybe isn't talked about enough because we're not in a commercial space, but yeah. if you're not making your salary back, we're just spending the people's money.
Exactly.
So actually we have a duty to be fiscally responsible. And it doesn't mean just what we spend it on, but it means like we should actually be generating. I mean, just non-profit is a really bad word because it doesn't mean you shouldn't be making a profit.
Yeah, exactly.
It means you should be making a profit, but
and
plowing that
it,
back
yeah.
into the business, right? Exactly. To do more workshops, to do more education, to go to more schools, to provide more materials. So I think that's really, and I think artists are not often taught because there's this disengagement, which we spoke about between the business and the practice of art,
yeah.
that this is kind of like, oh, like no one's going to talk about money at art school. And I've even heard artists say to me, my professor didn't even want me to like ask him about art fairs or how to price my work because it was all like, don't think about the market. Let's just not. But actually you're doing a disservice to them by not, because mm-hmm. that is at the end of the day,
your
bread and butter.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, your team is learning about, you know, what if you want to have your own art gallery? What if you, even if you're
exactly.
being a professional
if,
artist.
Exactly. Yeah. What? No, but if you want yeah. to make additions, like, you know, have to know how to produce that, how to price
right.
it, how
mm-hmm.
to pay
how
the
to
taxes
ship
on
how to ship it.
And those are all like really important things. Yeah. And, you know, my husband, who had a gallery for 30 years, always said to his artists, he's like, you are your product.
Yeah.
And you have to know how to market yourself, because when you introduce a new artist to a market, it is like introducing a new product to a market.
Yeah.
Like, why should anyone buy that, especially with art? No one needs
yeah.
it.
It's just
like, I mean, in terms yeah, yeah. of like, it gives, you know, it's not right. food or toilet paper.
It's
right?
not a skin cream that'll
exactly.
do some magical
yeah.
thing.
Even
yeah.
that, you know,
if
I mean,
invest,
you know,
yeah.
you don't necessarily need, but it's
right.
not. It's, you know, it really is something. That is sort of about well-being in a much more kind of spiritual way
yeah.
for people. And it's like, you know, if artists aren't taught that in a way that they are their product, mm-hmm. then, you know, and so I think it's a great lesson that all your team are having because,
yeah.
you know, they're kind of in a way like looking at how the sausages are made. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you just got to face the fact that's how sausages get made before you fry them up. And
yeah,
eat them.
I mean, I think it is it's a growing experience for all of us, myself included. I mean, just I think the going back to this rigor of the professional rigor part of it, like people talk about their market value, which I think is another conversation that's very relevant for us to have, because we need to start understanding why the gallery is the idea of the gallery, not the current specifically, but the gallery and is market. Important to your practice if you want to sell work. All of this is connected. It goes back to why
not
parents
even selling work, just exposing your work. And as an artist, I feel like you take on sort of a duty of getting a message across. And how are you getting that across if no one can see your work?
I was going to say the most exciting thing for me is selling a piece of artwork or hearing that it sold and texting the artist and saying, guess what?
Yeah.
Like that, I can't even describe in words how exciting that is for me, is to tell them, guess what?
Yeah.
An art collector, not just a dumb quote-unquote tourist, is going to hang it over their sofa, but like an art collector from Singapore just bought your piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what it's really, really important, and I think as a dealer, like certainly my husband, whenever he sold to a first-time collector, he was so excited, he was like, I've just and they're like, they're on a payment plan. He loved the ones on a payment plan, right? Because it showed that like they were so committed to that piece. And I think that thing of like really being platforms, helping artists, helping collectors, helping, sharing the passion and the joy that like being, that having art in your life
it's amazing.
I'll plug in Katrina Cartwright's portfolio workshops and things like that that they're offering at NAGB. If you're an artist out there and you see these calls for works and you're not sure how to put these PDFs together, go to these workshops. They're out there. They're available. Same with our open critique. Yep. You know, the current staff is happy to answer questions about things like putting your portfolio together.
Yeah, and so are we. I mean, so are we as Because if you're not sure and you hear something like, oh, you know, how do I prepare for a critique? Like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, just by all means. I always tell people, like, art people generally, I think there's been a disservice done to our industry by, like, films and television. We're always shown as, like, snooty people, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And actually, far from it. Like, most of the art people I know are, like, super, super. Yeah, I mean, but even in New York, like, half the time you ask the gallerina who looks snooty something, and she'll smile, and it will all change. Sometimes it's just that kind of resting face. Do you know what I mean? But I think most people that are in the art world in any capacity do it because they're passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And passionate people just want to talk about their passion. So if you come to the NAGB and say, well, how do I put my portfolio together? Believe me, someone's going to give you, like, a free 45-minute
one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that normally you'd pay for college. So, and I think the same for the current, right?
Absolutely.
I know that everyone there is just eager to
I think to kind of just to reinforce what Natasha said earlier, I think that's always been my thing from the minute we started working there, and we're giving people these big projects to do, these big commissions and that kind of thing. And it just, like, you could just hear the excitement and the kind of what it meant to the artists. And then, you, like you say, the sale of work, the people who are buying the work are super excited about it. So they're happy. You're making them happy. The artist is happy. And literally, it is, and I might be alone in this, but I think that maybe this is a part of my DNA. Like, that makes me, that is as satisfying to me as when I sell my own work.
Absolutely.
It's like when you're able to, when that happens, you're like, wow, like, what just happened here? People are able to kind of make those connections, you know? And so I think the work that we do is important as a collective, NAGB. I mean, what's going on with, you know, Dungalik and Hillside and the other spaces,
transforming spaces
is very, very important. I mean, and I am eternally grateful to Graham Davis from Bahamar. I mean, he's the one who gets behind us.
Yeah.
He's the one who kind of says, listen, guys, do your thing. You want to do an art fair? Okay. You want to develop a new studio? Okay. You want to do the residency? Okay, let's do it. I'm like, wow, like, you know, there's something there that he's recognizing. Yeah. So I got to give him a shout out.
And again, it brings something to the resort. But again, I don't think that should be looked at cynically. Like, people are like, oh, they're just using art. Like, listen, you know, we live in this space where until we do better, we are relying on tourism. So, you know, it's, but that they are investing this much in art, they want to put Bahamian artists at the forefront, and they want to speak about, like, our culture authentically, and that people are excited about that. You know what, if they get extra rooms by that, then fine.
You know, the important thing is, I mean, these are names that people won't be relevant, but, like, you know, the first essentially general manager for Grand Hyatt was this guy John D'Angelo, who's a big supporter of us, and he kind of candidly just said to me, he's like, John, you know what, like, truthfully, like, the current is, like, the most awesome thing at Bahamar.
Mm-hmm.
When he was leaving, he had his current shirt on. Like, it was a big ceremony for him that he was moving on to another property. And I was like, wow, like, little things. Richard Alexander from SLS was like, dude, if I could just be here all day long, I would just stay
and
here.
The painters
trust me.
In the corridor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think really from
so we're getting
to bottom,
there. Small Works.
Yeah.
May 24th.
So yeah, come out to Small Works on May 24th, 7 to 10 p.m.
6:30
to 10 p.m. Yes. Okay, 6:30 to 10 p.m. And then, of course, there's the portfolio critique.
Open critiques, 4 to 6.
Where you can bring a work or just listen from 4 to 6 tomorrow. But again, just go. Just go hang out. It's an awesome space. I want to thank everyone for doing the work you're doing. I know you all work really hard. And for keeping the dream alive. John, thanks for coming on the show. Angelica, Natasha,
thank you too.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
And thank you to the audience for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Tune in again next week to The Blank Canvas. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.